This is the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
8:31, and joining us live from Washington, D.C., 2nd District Congressman Cliff Bentz. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning, Kyle. How are you today?
Doing good. Now, I understand you just came out of a hearing involving the Bonneville Power Administration. What's going on with that today?
Right. Well, it wasn't so much a hearing as a meeting among a number of Northwest congressmen and women that are concerned about the transition now of the new, the need for a new administrator, because the current administrator has given notice of his resignation from that job of administrating BPA. And so the goal now is to find someone to take John Hairston's place. And so there are a series of super important issues that we're concerned about. And so, everybody in the Northwest should be concerned about it, because BPA, Bonneville Power, is so important to the rates we pay for electrical power. I mean, it's a reason for so much economic activity in the Northwest. Originally, it was because of our incredible hydropower resources, and Bonneville Power is in charge of moving all of that electricity around the Northwest. So we want to find the right person for the job.
Now, I think a lot of times, probably in Southwest Oregon, people don't really think about the BPA quite as much.
Well, they should. The interconnection of all of our power sources now is becoming extremely important, and a lot of it has to do with the advent or requirement in Oregon and other states for intermittent power, such as solar and wind. And as a result, you don't have it all the time, and you've got to find your power somewhere else and bring it over power lines to take solar and wind's place, because the wind doesn't blow all the time. And as they say, solar has a real problem. The sun goes down every night, so you better have backup power. So transmission that BPA has, I think between 50% and 60% of all of the wire moving power around the Northwest is owned by Bonneville Power Administration. So terrifically important.
And of course, you've talked before about the aspect of the Columbia Gorge dams as well, and it looks like there's been kind of a shift under the Trump administration to what might happen or not happen there.
Well, we went from the Biden administration that was not so surreptitiously trying to take the dams out, the four lower Snake River dams, and frankly, if they had had their way, all of the dams on the Columbia system, but they would never admit that it's all of them, but that's the truth. So we went from an administration, the Biden administration, wanting to take those dams out, to the Trump administration wanting to keep those dams in and, in fact, expand hydropower if we possibly can. There are the McNary Dam, for example, was never fully completed. There's about half of the opportunity to generate power at McNary was never installed, and so there are different places in the hydro system that lend themselves to increased power. Now this year, we're looking at a drought of hopefully not epic proportions. So this could be a really bad year for a lot of reasons, Kyle. And that's because if we don't get some more snow or rain soon, we're in big trouble. And we're in big trouble because we're not going to have the electrical power we need to keep our economy going, or for that matter, electricity going to people's homes. And you and I have talked about this before. And that this is why finding someone to take Administrator Harrison's place now that he has stepped aside is incredibly important.
You know, a couple of days ago, we had an ag report on. I think it said that we had the worst snowpack in Oregon since 1980. That's pretty incredible.
Well, it's incredibly frightening. I do recall the other situations, however, where suddenly March, April, May, and June, we got all kinds of water. So we just have to hope and pray that that's what happens this year. If it doesn't, we're in big trouble.
So let's talk about some other things going on in the nation's capital right now. Are we going to get another partial government shutdown?
Well, if I were betting, I would say yes, but I'm really hopeful that we don't. If we do have a shutdown, it's going to be a fraction of what was the case last year, thank goodness, because we've passed 11 of the 12 appropriation bills, and so basically 93 or 94% of government will keep right on operating. The 6 or 7% that doesn't consists of a Homeland Security bill, and that includes FEMA, our emergency agency, and worse, the FAA, which runs the TSA and other things for airport operations, and of course border issues. But we put a lot of money into the border space in the Big Beautiful Bill, so that is not really Homeland Security is not really at risk at this time, and isn't going to be for a considerable period of time. It's going to be the Aviation Administration and FEMA, among several other things. But it won't be a shutdown like we saw last fall.
What are some of the other hot topics among members of Congress right now? What are you hearing?
Well, the focus in many respects is on energy, on my committees, because I'm on energy and commerce, and we're focusing there. It's also on the price of pharmaceuticals. We had a very interesting hearing yesterday on my healthcare subcommittee on energy and commerce, and which I am a member of, and it was quite interesting. We had 9 people come in to the committee, lined up all at the table at one time to testify, and it was one person from each link in the pharmacy chain, from manufacturers and people who design medications all the way to the local pharmacist at the end of the line. And it was extraordinarily interesting, particularly when it comes to pharmacy benefit managers, PBMs. Even though they're not the only problem in this space, they are certainly a big one. And what's happened is we have 3 of these so-called pharmacy benefit managers, 3 corporations that control 80% of the movement of the flow of drugs through the system. And you can imagine the gentleman who was representing PBMs got the lion's share of the questions, very aggressive questions about why are you driving up the cost of medications, and why are you moving a bunch of what you do offshore to avoid transparency, and why is what you're doing not in some fashion violative of antitrust law? I mean, it was really, really, really an interesting hearing.
Now,
so that's one of the focuses.
And where do you see that whole issue of drug pricing going next?
Well, the discussion is going to be on what impact price fixing, that is telling drug companies how much they can charge for what they have developed and invented. How much, if we fix the price, what impact will that have on the drug company's ability to finance and attract financing for the astounding number of new amazing drugs that are saving so many people's lives? And this didn't just happen come about for no good reason. It's because our system has been designed to return significant amounts of money to entities and people who develop really, really, really amazing drugs and devices to try to keep us living longer and more comfortably. So China just goes to their taxpayers, apparently, and dumps big, huge piles of government money into their system. In the United States, what we do is we say to these drug companies, you guys figure it out, and then we'll protect that which you patent for a period of years, like 8 years. And so you'll be able to get your money back and hopefully a significant profit, because that's how the drug company then finances the incredible amount of research it takes. And many times the research is not successful, and they just have to throw the whole sequence of research out the window because it's not worth anything. And they might spend billions of dollars on a failed effort. And so in order to generate that kind of money, they've got to have a return. Well, as more and more people say, well, we've got to have lower prices on drugs, the proper response would be, and who's going to pay and take the risk for creating new drugs? And so we still want a cure for cancer. We still want a cure for Parkinson's. And the way that we do it here in the United States is by making sure that there's a return on those investments and that risk. So where it's going, I fear that people are going to say, well, we just have to limit how much they make. And what will happen is we'll start seeing, and we're already seeing it right now, the shift of the innovation in the drug space over to China. And this is not blowing smoke, Kyle. This is the absolute truth. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we want China to have all of the amazing drugs and have to go beg them for that kind of access? Or do we want to continue to try to make sure we have these kinds of drugs in the United States, these new, innovative, astounding miracle drugs?
Wow. Certainly a lot going on. We're actually out of time for now. We'll hope to check in again soon. A lot of things happening in the nation's capital. Congressman Cliff Bentz from Washington, D.C. Congressman, thanks for being on this morning.
Thank you.